it's a testament to Jimmy, you know, his toughness, and then those guys on the inside, you know, Alex, Lakin, and Dan, just being able to be physical, get that 1 yard, 2 yards, get those touchdowns. I mean, that's awesome. When Jimmy's run the football, you know, I also like it, too, because he gets sore after the game finally and understands what it's like to be sore. It's like, oh, my shoulder's sore today because I threw the ball so much. No, he got hit and tackled. So I'm glad he's a little sore this week, and, you know, he gets to feel what it feels like to be an actual football player.
George Kittle on quarterback sneaks.
I didn't know who it was, and obviously didn't know who they were referring to. That's actually pretty funny.
I like him. I can't do anything wrong, and Jimmy actually has to be a football player.
Yeah. Hey, I will tell you that, you know what? We watch the Bills for a living. We have Greg Bishop coming up at 9:30 from Sports Illustrated to do a little bit more of a national look at the league, not just the Bills. If I can work it out, I would love watching NFC West football the entire season. I think every divisional matchup is going to be outstanding, right? No one they haven't played each other yet at all through the first 2 weeks. But Rams, Niners, Cardinals, Seahawks, when they get together and they play each other, that the Arizona-Seattle game, what, in Phoenix last year, was one of the more entertaining games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget, Kyler Murray, around the time they were beating the Bills, Arizona was good. They were playing very well. He was being mentioned in, like, the MVP circles. And then their season kind of went to hell. But if I would advise you, if you get a chance, I'm just saying, I would love to watch the NFC West this year. I think their teams are fascinating from top to bottom, and it makes for a great division. They're going to be fantastic games. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
Waiting for the 506 map to come out today so we know who we're getting, who's getting what. Of course,
I haven't even looked at this. Bills, I know you brought up the schedule the other day.
Yeah, Bills Washington, of course. It's such a good week. You know, you mentioned my pick of the week for tomorrow. You've got F1 coming back, the Ryder Cup, Chiefs Chargers, and Bucks Rams. Those are two just great games.
I would love to watch. I wish I could. I can't. But I would love to watch Chiefs Chargers just to see Herbert. Their defense, Kansas City's defense, not good the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
Over 60 points, almost 1,000 yards. We love Justin Herbert. We love his... Hey, Austin Eckler, you want to get in the end zone this week? That'd be really fine. But I think that would be a great... It's a 1 o'clock game, though, right?
What if the Chiefs lose?
Where is the is it in L.A., by the way, or is it
I thought it was, but I'll check.
What if the Chiefs lose?
It's Kansas City because it's a 1 o'clock game.
Okay, that's a really good question. What if the Chiefs lose? I don't know. Ask me Monday if the Chiefs lose. I'll tell you what I think. I need time to think that one over. If the Chiefs lose, I might be feeling a little bit better about the Chiefs not being the gold standard anymore in the AFC.
It's tough to know Herbert against the Chiefs because the last time he played them, the Chiefs didn't need the win. It's January 3rd. The Chiefs are going to the playoffs. Chargers win 38-21.
Look at the first game. Can you pull up the first game they played against L.A. last year?
Yes.
I feel like that was, okay, this is bad. I should probably not talk and trust my memory and wait till you pull the game up. But I feel like L.A. kind of hung in there. That might have been one of those Anthony Lynn did not have a banner day making decisions games.
Those are a lot of games.
Right. That's right. I could be confusing it with another Charger game because of what you just said.
Chiefs Chargers.
What was the first game?
The first time they played, they lost in overtime.
That's it. That's right. They had a lead, right?
Yep.
The Chargers had a lead in the second half, and Kansas City went on a game time. If I recall, Kansas City they had a lead in the fourth quarter. And Kansas City went on a game tying drive and eventually won it in overtime. But L.A. had a lead on them in the late stages in that game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you pull up the play-by-play.
I will pull up the play-by-play. Final score was 23-20 in overtime. Herbert goes 22 of 33 for 311 and a touchdown.
Wow. Yeah, that...
And it might have been, I think it was his first career game.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
His first career game, he almost beat Mahomes.
That's right. And they had, again, they had a lead. I don't remember what happened.
The Chiefs scored 11 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there must have been, maybe there was an Anthony Lynn didn't go for it decision or something in there. I just remember watching that game on Red Zone, thinking, oh my God, they're going to beat the Chiefs. And then all of a sudden, Kansas City, they did what Mahomes in Kansas City does. No lead is safe. There was something there, too, about Anthony Lynn's decision-making, I think, that either then or maybe something in overtime, and it kind of came back to bite the Chargers. So there you go, see? So they coulda, woulda, shoulda. I don't know if the Chargers went on Sunday. That's a really interesting question because, you know, has Mahomes ever lost? Probably not, right? Back-to-back regular season games?
I don't think so.
Yeah. We'll revisit Kansas City a little bit on Monday if they lose that game.
Yeah.
Look, I think the Chargers are a good football team. They should have had a better record than they did last year. And they made their change at coach. If they stay healthy, I mean, their defense had issues last year because two of their best players were injured. They tried to make a couple moves to make their offensive line better in front of Justin Herbert. I think the Chargers are a good football team. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat Kansas City. Again, they had a lead in the fourth quarter. What else happened last year? Kansas City lost to another division rival. They lost to the Raiders. So it's not like, you know, New England running roughshod over the AFC East for 20 years. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost to Los Angeles. But it would almost make you think, okay, so the Chiefs are not the gold standard. Well, they're not infallible. Their defense isn't good. Does Herbert pick them apart?
I still might think they're the gold standard, even if they were to lose that game. But their road to the one seed would be very difficult.
Oh, but yeah, well, this is the schedule, right? If you point out the quarterbacks are going to play in the schedule.
The Bills' schedule is looking
quite
nice. And the Chiefs, after this game, of course, still have to play the Bills, the Titans, the Packers, the Raiders, who are doing well, the Cowboys, Raiders again, Chargers again, Steelers again. Like, that's it's a tough schedule. For the Bills, we went through this yesterday. The three best quarterback games the Bills will face will be Brady, Mahomes, and Tannehill.
Right.
And that's it.
Look, we're still thinking, right? A lot of people still think that the Bills could run the division again.
Yes,
they did last year, right?
I think they could.
Could Kansas City go 4-2? Could they go 3-3? Look, what if they lose to the Raiders and the Chargers once? And now we're talking 4-2.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, Denver is a little bit of a wild card with Bridgewater and they have a good defense, but you know, maybe, I mean, we're sitting here going, you'd be shocked if the Bills don't run the division table. You wouldn't be with Kansas City. They've got really good competition in their division right now. You know, they've got a Raiders team that might not be for real. We've seen them do this before, but their quarterback's playing well. They have really good weapons in the passing game. They have one of the best tight ends in the league. You know, and they maybe are a little bit better on defense. Justin Herbert, a talented Chargers team, and for what it's worth, the Broncos are 2-0. Their division is competitive. Those guys will push Kansas City. I don't think that's happening in this division, right? Miami just lost 35-0. Then it looks like the Patriots' offense is a rather safe, conservative, short-passing, high-percentage short-passing, and run-the-ball offense with Mac Jones. I'm not sure how many, you know, games you're going to win that way over the course of the season. So Kansas City's got a tougher battle at the very least inside their own division than the Bills do. It is, what's the best division in the AFC? Them?
Yes.
It's not the East. It's not the South. So the only other thing would be the North, but I don't think Pittsburgh's that good. And Cincinnati's not there yet.
Yeah, it's the West.
Yeah, it's a deeper division.
Quick thing, so looking at Pro Football Focus, their grades, and I never got to that Josh Allen stat that I'm going to get you. So Pro Football Focus, their offensive grades, and also expected points added per play this year. Okay?
Yeah, expected points added per play this year, gotcha.
Right, fancy stats, whatever. The highest graded quarterback this year is Brady. He's been great. Their offensive grade, their points per play, you know, what I'm getting to is, because these graphs, even I look at them like, wait, so what? Huh? How does it work?
Well, if you do that, then I'm not going to understand.
Like, Mahomes has had a very high expected points added per play. Stafford has. The Rams have. Anyway, point is this. This is the only point I want to get to. I'm not going to take too much out of this chart. The Bills and the Washington football team are right on top of each other. That the Washington passing offense has about the same grade. I'm sorry, the Washington offense has the same grade and the expected points added per play, about the same. Buffalo and Washington are right next to each other.
Not something I would expect at
Not something that you want to see stick.
Yeah. No. No, 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 no. I don't know.
It could be they played two tough defenses. You know, the same point I'll make about the Bills' defense.
Washington played, they played the Giants and the Chargers, right? I think, yeah, they played the Chargers in their first two games.
You know, the thing, I'll say this about the Bills' defense a lot. It's the same point that you might want to make about the offense. Because what you do is a function of who you play. If you think the Bills' offense is a little bit in a lull, which I tend to think,
yeah,
because Guys, they played two really good defenses. Pittsburgh's a really good defense, and Miami is also. They led the league in takeaways last year.
You wouldn't necessarily say that after a 35-0 game, but we know better. We know there were some other factors in the game.
Maybe the passing game doesn't look great because they played two really good defenses. Okay, I will accept that. I want you to also accept, I bet the Bills' defense looks really good because they've not yet played a good offense. And that's going to extend this week and the following week. So I fully expect when they go into that Sunday night game, I can write the stories for you right now. This rebuilt defensive line and the way they get after the passer, they've shown through 4 weeks. They lead the league in sacks, Howard. They are getting after the quarterback, and they are a big threat to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And that might be true, but I do think a lot of it will be, you know, the first four games are like the press conference before the fight where you get into a fight to get you up for it. To me, there's a lot of that.
I think I'm trying to pull up the NFL stats. I didn't have a chance to check the rankings. I believe from what Sal tweeted, if I recall Sal's tweet yesterday, he tweeted out some of the Bills rankings in the NFL stats. And I think the Bills defense was tied for second scoring defense. Now, think about who they're going to play the next 2 weeks. My point is, I wanted to look up and see who number one was and who's tied with them for second, so I'll see if I can get to it. My point is, when they go into Kansas City, that's the Sunday night game, right? So it's when Chris Collinsworth swings into the set, slides on into the two-shot with Al Michaels, Michaels is going to open up talking about Mahomes and Kansas City. And when Collinsworth slides in, the Al Michaels question might be, so here we have the great offense against the number one defense in the NFL right now. Points given up. They're tied for second right now.
Yeah.
How many points?
Who's number one?
That's what I want to look up. I'm trying to do that right now. How much is Washington and Houston going? How much are Washington and Houston going to do to the Bills the next 2 weeks?
Okay.
Your storyline might be the number one scoring defense against wherever the heck Kansas City ranks offensively.
Here's a good argument for it, Matt. It's who you've played. Number two, who are they tied with? They tied with New England.
Yeah, okay.
New England played the Jets and the
Miami.
Dolphins.
Neither offense is good.
Number one is Carolina.
Carolina, wow.
Carolina is the number one scoring defense. They play the Saints.
And the Jets. I mean, the Saints, I don't know. I'm not sure what to figure out. The Jets, of course, are bad.
But the point is, like, the two top teams are where they are because they play the Jets.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
And two of the top three teams are where they are because they play the Dolphins.
Right.
So, you know, I want that there. Atlanta's last in the league in scoring defense. Who have they played? The Bucs. And they played also, they play in the opener. They got hammered by the Eagles.
Tampa Bay. Atlanta?
Yeah.
Did you say Tampa Bay in the opener?
The Bucs and the Eagles.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking up. I wanted to find Pittsburgh and Miami.
Who they've played?
No. Scoring offense now, okay? Points per game.
Yeah.
Miami's last in the NFL. I'm just looking up for Pittsburgh.
They played the Patriots and the Bills.
Right. And Pittsburgh is 24th. So the Bills' defense has faced the 24th and the 32nd ranked scoring offense.
Now, they're there because they play the Bills. This is what happens early in the season.
Is it because of the Bills, or is it because Roethlisberger's not good, and Tua got hurt, and Brissett's not good?
And over time, we will learn more and more.
That's why two games is so, you know, what do you take?
It's part of me, like, I would predict for you, if you could buy stock and sell stock, I would buy stock in the Bills' defense until week four, and then I would sell some. Because they're going to play the Chiefs and the Titans, and then I would buy it back. I'm fully ready for the story about the Bills' defense to be, you know, they had that four-week stretch where they weren't as good, and it's because they played better quarterbacks. And then they'll find their rhythm against the Jets. And I'm not trying to say they're bad at all. I think they are a good defense and could definitely finish top five, top ten. It's just right when they made the draft picks, Howard, of Rousseau and Basham, and the story became about the pass rush. My reaction to that was, my feeling was, I have no doubt that you can get better at a pass rush. I don't know if it makes any difference against Mahomes.
Right. Well, no. I mean, look.
And I know I know the Tampa thing, what they did. Tampa played an offensive line that was hurt, and he couldn't run.
Isn't this where coaches would tell us, set the edge. Sure, you want to get some pass rush, but don't let him escape the rush. Don't let him get out of the tackle box. This guy can create. This guy goes right. This guy goes left. This guy throws sidearm. This guy spins around does it, you know, a 380 and still completes a pass. So Mahomes couldn't do that against Tampa because he had one foot. What was he saying? He was scrunching
he
up his toes.
He said he couldn't run unless he scrunched his – he couldn't put weight on the foot without scrunching his toes.
So if you're going to tell me Mahomes can't move, then I'm going to say my chances of sacking him or hitting him are much better behind backup offensive linemen.
I'd like to see someone attempt to run with scrunched toes.
You want me to do it right now? Because I mean, I can't run with my toes regular. I'll pull a hammy. But look at Kansas City. So, again, the storyline, which for this game, which is still three games away, Kansas City's still third in scoring in the league. Tampa's won.
And they played Baltimore and Cleveland.
Right.
And Cleveland's got a good defense.
Tampa's won. Arizona's two. So, KC's still number one in the conference. So, it's going – if this continues. Now, let me say one little thing. I think they'll do the whole – number one defense versus top scoring, one of the best offenses. Look, if Josh in the passing game don't look so good, they'll be 3-1, right? Yeah. Bills will be 3-1.
Bills are going to be 3-1.
But if there's still something that's amiss about their passing game, I wonder if NBC plays that angle up. This was Mahomes versus Allen, the MVP versus the top MVP candidate. But the Bills aren't playing exactly. So I don't think they would do that. My guess is they would gravitate to look what the Bills have done defensively. Now can they stop Mahomes?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was, you know, the Bills wanted to improve their pass rush. The Bills need to beat Kansas City. How do you do that? Let's draft a defensive end. Let's draft another defensive end. Now let's do all these things to help our pass rush. Let's get Star back after opting out. I think that would be the way they would play that game. Can the Bills defense stop Kansas City's offense? And then secondarily, they would get into, by the way, the last two times the Bills played the Chiefs, boy, Josh Allen and the offense did not look good against
Kansas
City.
It'll be the Lamar storyline. It'll be Lamar Jackson got his win over the Chiefs.
Yeah, they'll do a little fancy 0-for-2
here are his stats against other teams, and here are his two outings against the Chiefs.
Right.
This all brings back to the Josh Allen stat. So there's a – it's all framing, right? How do you want to frame it? How do you want to look at it? Because there's a lot of, it's only two games. Guys, relax, it's only two games. Here is the counterpoint to it's only two games. Kevin Cole, Pro Football Focus. Josh Allen's expected points added on 20-yard throws or more.
Yeah.
Okay? This year he is 29th in the league. You say, it's only two games. All right, it's only two games.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, he was 29th in the league. In 2019, he was 29th in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's 29th in the league. Last year, he was 14th.
Right, so last year.
So the point would be, listen, you could say it's only two games. The counterpoint for someone that, you know, like, Allen's got to prove it. That's how this works. Whether you're a rookie or a 10-year guy, Tom Brady's still talking about people that don't believe in him and have called him washed up, like we have. So, like, this is part of it. So it's not that these are draft people that want to say they were right and holding out this grudge. It is a sport where if you stop proving it, you're gone or you'll be exposed. So Kevin Cole, he followed this up by saying, this is basically to say to you, if you tell me it's two games, I'll tell you
that's
no.
That's who he is.
It is who he is, and the abnormality was the 16
last year,
2020.
Right.
We'll figure it out over time. You know, he grew into whatever. It's just that this looks like the guy he was before.
Yeah.
So
as opposed to last year was the guy who just out of nowhere, and nobody, right? Everybody can agree. I think everybody can agree on one thing:
that he surpassed expectations.
What he did last year was a jump that nobody's ever done, right? Or has rarely been done. That kind of jump from year two to year three, right, has rarely been seen in the National Football League. By the way, if you care about these things, Kansas City's defense is dead last in points given up, in total yards given up, in total yards per play, total yards per game. Yards per game.
Where would they rank if they played the Steelers and Dolphins? And where would the Bills played the Browns and the Ravens?
Right. Kansas City played Cleveland and Baltimore.
I don't think they would swap spots, but I think they'd be closer.
It's funny, though,
than first and last.
But it's funny. You would just look at it and go, oh, Lord, Kansas City, right? They've given up 60-something points, 63, 65 points. 938 yards they've given up in the first two games, Kansas City. They played two of the better offensive teams that they're going to see on their schedule. Fun with numbers. 803-0550 to join us this morning as we talk Bills Washington. We were also talking about the taunting crackdown. Made that the web poll. You can vote at WGR550.com. Taunting flags are up, I guess, as to have been expected. 11 calls in the first two games. Levi Wallace got the taunting penalty in Miami the other day. Are you happy with the crackdown? It's the right idea. You think it was a terrible idea? I don't know why the league did it. I would vote for that, but I don't vote on our own web polls. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, if something else you want to get to, that's fine. We did a little hockey talk this morning. Sabres are reporting for their physicals today. No media availabilities. That will come tomorrow. And if there's nothing else, if something else we didn't get to, that's why phone lines are here. When we get back, Greg Bishop from Sports Illustrated will also join us. We'll get his thoughts in on the Bills and other observations, the top stories through the first 2 weeks of this young NFL season. That is coming up in just a moment on WGR.
If there's one play that sums up the New York Jets, this one has to be it. This Patriots winning off the edge. This Jets lineman is probably holding. There's a Patriot charging up the middle at Zach with no blocking at all. This Jets dude is being pancaked on the ground. We have these two idiots staring at each other like, yo, what are we doing? I don't know, let's just stand here. We have 78 touching his own lineman. On top of that, we have two receivers with zero separation, and the cherry on top has to be Zach Wilson throwing this pick. And Corey Davis has no hops.
That is a kid on TikTok breaking down the all 22 of the Jets. I'll just retweeted that for you if you want to take a look at that.
The poor kid.
The jarring thing is watching the highlight. He's right.
Yeah.
If you're Zach Wilson, it's one of those the record scratches. Like, yeah, you might wonder how I got myself in this situation as the Patriots bear down on him with no options.
Now, was that a pick that he threw?
He did. It got deflected.
There was one of the four interceptions he threw. I didn't see it. I still haven't seen the clip. But I know all the Jets guys who I follow on Twitter are all like, what are you doing? Like,
that
there
wasn't
was
this
nobody
one.
Near
that
the,
was not
like,
this
like,
one.
Where are you throwing the ball? There was nobody in a Jets uniform in the state of New Jersey at the time. Assuming the game was played in New Jersey. I don't remember if it was in Foxborough, New Jersey, but it really doesn't matter. You got the point. If I had to give any advice, having grown up a Jets fan, to this 12-year-old Jets fan, find another team. Seriously, you don't know, you know, says the guy who raised his son as a Met fan. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. 803-05, well, maybe you do, based on the breakdown that you just had a moment ago. 803-0550 to join us for your Bills Washington talk today. Let's get a little national perspective on the Bills and what's going on through the first 2 weeks in the NFL season. We've been talking a little bit about it. Now we're going to go to the Western Hotline to bring in Greg Bishop, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Greg, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Nice to talk to you, Jeremy. Been a little while.
Yeah, Greg, how are things? We were dorm mates. Friends, dorm mates.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Greg's a Syracuse guy.
I would have used your name book in the interview.
Yeah, we've had him on before. Friend of the show, you know.
Okay. Or actually, now I'm glad. I guess I should have been worried if you wouldn't have come on the show if I used your... No, good. So it's nice. Well, I didn't realize you guys had a connection. That's awesome. Very good.
Absolutely. Sadler Hall, floor two.
Yep.
So thanks for having me, guys.
Oh. You got any stories about Jeremy, what he was like in college?
No stories, but if I remember correctly, Greg, were you put on the floor late or something? Because they had like the men's side and the women's side, and there was an extra room that was like a study hall, and I think Greg lived in that room, but it was on the women's side.
Yeah. Hey, smart.
Right?
That is correct. I was in the study hall on the women's part of the floor, and it was always fun to walk the shower because it was like basically the length of a football field.
Yeah. He had to go like through the lobby, which split the men's side and the women's side on the floor, through the lobby and go, 100 yards for the shower for him.
I feel like I should probably just leave that subject where it is, and I'll just move on. You know, we'll start with the Bills, of course, and Greg was kind enough to send me a link to a piece he did. You did a huge feature on Josh Allen around the midpoint of last season and the Josh Allen experience, but in a favorable way. So it's I don't know how much you've seen of the Bills for the first two games, but it's interesting now. The story here is, hey, you know, the whole Josh Allen experience in the passing game, a little bit something off right now.
Yeah, and I think it has been a little bit uneven through the first two games. But I do think that, you know, one thing that stood out to me in the time I spent with Josh was just how intense he was on developing. You know, you've seen him every year kind of add layers to his game. You've seen him improve year by year in certain areas. And so, you know, I don't think that this is the kind of thing where he's stopped growing or where the progress will just be perfectly even and upward. I do think you are going to see some rough patches from him. I do think you are going to see defenses adjust a little bit to some of their offensive deals. But, You know, I wouldn't say that I'm worried about the Bills at all. To me, they still look like a Super Bowl contender, and to me, they have one of the more complete rosters in the NFL. So it has been a little more uneven than I expected, but I think they'll be right there in the mix come January.
I like getting national guests on because sometimes, you know, maybe we're a little too close to the story, so to speak, emotional, and, you know, national guests don't necessarily have that. What else did you learn about Josh Allen?
Well, one thing I learned is he's just a really relatable guy. You know, my parents went to the University of Wyoming, and that came up a couple of times. You know, there was a good story that I couldn't put, that I couldn't fit into the magazine, where he was out playing golf, and somebody asked him for, you know, a selfie, and what he did instead was he grabbed their driver and, like, cranked, like, a drive, like, 300 yards, and he said, "There's your selfie." And, like, to me, that was just, like, super relatable. Like, anybody could have a picture, but that guy will remember that moment and that drive for the rest of his life. And, you know, last January I was working on a piece about the Bills' offensive line where I was going to kind of write about them as an extension of Allen and sort of the soul of the team with their personality and whatnot. And it would have ran if they had won that last playoff game. But it, to me, like, there was a relatability about all of them. It was easy to get behind them. It was easy to sort of see Josh's imprint of personality on that team. And I just feel like, you know, that is a team with a really kind of cool soul. And I think that comes from Josh and starts with Josh.
You know, the 2 weeks in, you want to start making observations, but you don't necessarily want to overreact because it is still a small sample size. We were just talking about the Chiefs, and the Kansas City defense hasn't been good. Granted, they played Cleveland and Baltimore. So, you know, they lose to Baltimore, and we'll see how they do against the Chargers. Give me an updated observation 2 games in on the 2021 Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I think you have to be a little bit concerned about the defense, particularly with the way that game ended against Baltimore. I do think that they have done some reconfiguring, but when I look at their defense and their roster specifically, I think that they have a lot of talented players. I think that tends to sort of even itself out over the course of a season. You know, you're talking about Chris Jones, you're talking about Frank Clark.
Yep.
Obviously, Tyrann Mathieu missed the first game, you know, but he was back and had a major impact in the second week. And, you know, that's another team that I think, you know, flawed enough to consider that they may not just roll through the AFC right into the Super Bowl. But then, you know, they also have that guy, Patrick Mahomes. And so I think that, you know, that's a team that will be playing for the Super Bowl as well. So, you know, I think it could be expected a little bit that they would be bumpy. They'd totally reconfigure their offensive line, sort of a response to the Super Bowl loss. And I think that, you know, they're a team that when you look at their postseason chances, it's going to be a lot of can they play well enough defensively to not lose a really important game in January.
When we were talking about the Chiefs, we were discussing the division. And Jeremy brought up, you know, the concept of the one seed and what if Kansas City loses to the Chargers. And we made a point, and I think it's a long way of getting to your thoughts on the Raiders. The Bills could absolutely still run their division and go 6-0. Kansas City's got a much tougher division than the Bills do in terms of the fight for the one seed discussion. Are the Raiders for real at 2-0? Would you say they are legit?
I like them as a potential playoff team, and I think your point is really good in terms of the AFC West. It's funny, but I was actually just watching the Broncos-Jags game when you guys called this morning. And, you know, I think that their division, Kansas City's, is much improved. You know, I think that when you look at the teams that are in it, you know, all four, to me, have a lot to like. I think when you look at how Derek Carr has played this year really well, I think that you look at some of the speed they have outside with Ruggs and Edwards and those guys, I just liked a lot about their offense. And then I'm not sure that there's a defensive end tandem that's playing as well in the league right now as the one in Las Vegas. And so you combine all that with the stadium. You know, the photographer I know was there the other night for the Monday night football game, the crazy one from week one, and he said he can't remember a stadium that had been quite that loud. And so, you know, to me, I just feel like they have a lot of things moving in the right direction. Are we talking a playoff team? Maybe number one seed. That seems to me a little ambitious, but I do think that they're in the mix, and I do think the Chiefs are playing in a division that's much, much, much improved.
We're with Greg Bishop from SI, and I'll get an NFC question, a couple in, but I wanted to – so the Bills play Kansas City in the fifth game, Greg, and then after that they play Tennessee. What do you make of the Titans? You know, the first week, blown out, I mean, destroyed, although, again, by what appears to be a very good Arizona team. And then the next week, they go to Seattle, and they come back from 14 down in the fourth quarter. In the context of a team that we're thinking about in the AFC battle, what do you make of the Titans so far?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I think they have played two really good teams, which sometimes can skew like the start of an NFL season. But when I look at Tennessee, I think that they are, you know, that this doesn't look good. You know, they appear to be showing some cracks. You know, this is a team with so many great players. They added Julio Jones this offseason. Tannehill had another year to sort of prepare and get better. I think their start has been surprising, and I think it speaks to life in the NFL. You know, this is a league where things change dramatically, where teams get a lot of tape, where defenses play differently based week to week, even you know, month to month. And I just think that they have not been in sync so far. So, you know, I like Mike Vrabel as a coach. I think he does a good job. And I think that they definitely have enough talent to write their season. But if I were a Titans fan, I would be very concerned at this point.
NFC, again, kind of give me the pulse after two games. Speaking of future Bills opponents, they will play the Saints on Thanksgiving night in New Orleans. Great week one and a flop, at least offensively, in week two. So what about New Orleans in the Winston era?
I think that's how it's going to be for a little while. You're going to see some unevenness. You're going to see, like, you know, they're transitioning out of this Drew Brees era that lasted forever, that had so much success. I really do buy Winston in this season as being sort of a comeback, you know, year for him. I like the fact that he's working with Sean Payton. I think he's just going to get better as the year goes along and people like Mike Thomas start to come back. But I do think you're going to see some unevenness as they try to move forward from Drew Brees. You know, part of that will be the defense that has been, I think, much better than given credit for the last few years, but not quite as good enough to carry a team. And I think part of that will be Winston, you know, sort of getting comfortable and getting used to the receivers that he has and to his coach. And so, to me, New Orleans is a team that should be, like, right on the playoff fringe. And I think it'll be, you know, you'll see a lot of, like, really good performances like week one and then more spotty ones like week two.
The final thing I have for you is actually a suggestion that you should make to your bosses at SI. Now, you're out west, and we were just talking about the NFC West, 7-1 so far. The only loss is Seattle to Tennessee. People thought it would be the best division going into the season. It sure looks like top to bottom, all four teams you could make a strong case for making the playoffs, which probably won't happen. But I want to say, I think those games, when they play each other inside the division, should be every single matchup should be a fantastic football game. So tell your folks at SI you want to just watch all of the NFC West games and cover those this year.
Absolutely. I love your idea. And also that means, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco, you know, Phoenix. I can get behind that.
Good trips.
Sure. I think you guys have stumbled upon some brilliance this morning. Thank you.
Hey, we try and help out. Just always looking for some good suggestions and trying to help out. Greg, thank you first for getting up early out west and coming on with us this morning. We appreciate you giving us some time, and enjoy the rest of the football season.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. Our pleasure. Greg Bishop, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Join us in the Western Hotline. Quick note from Jerry Dulac, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers, has tweeted out this morning, Ben Roethlisberger can play versus the Bengals, but it will be with pain when he throws, to which John Ledyard from the Pewter Report, quote, tweeted, just like us.
Yeah.
That's
a whiner line. I was going to say, this show's been paining me for years.
But I still listen. We can still listen to your show, but it will be with pain. So nice job on the quote tweet there. Left pec from what Mike Tomlin said yesterday. There's some kind of left pec injury with Roethlisberger. They don't know when he sustained it. It'll affect his prep this week, apparently, but it sounds like he's leaning towards playing on Sunday, but in pain. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Top of the hour, it's going to be Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase bringing you the Extra Point Show with more fine quality football talk, among other things. That's 10 to noon today, WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay, two couple quick things for the road here. All right, Major League Baseball, if you're listening, the Low A West League is minor league baseball. They experimented this season with a 15-second pitch clock in June. It sped up games. The league cut their game time by an average of 21 minutes per game by using a 15-second pitch clock. They also found more runs were scored, more home runs were hit, there were fewer walks, and fewer strikeouts. Memo to Major League Baseball. You need the DH in the NL, and you need a pitch clock. It's not going to happen, but just thought I'd throw that out there.
There's a story from, I just saw, was it Elliot Friedman or Darren Drager? One of the two. You know, we're going to get Jack news from those two. Here we go. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. He expects Eichel to come to camp, fail his physical, not be cleared to play. He says there's a very good chance Buffalo removes his captaincy. Funny thing about this is, like, it's the most formal process. They're going to trade him. You don't keep the C when you're, right?
No, they're not going to trade him. No, what are you talking
about?
Gonna
the idea, like, oh, wow. I mean, I guess it's official. They're taking the C off his sweater. Yes, because they plan on him playing for another team at some point.
I wonder if they take the C away, if Eichel will be angry and he'll ask for a trade.
Yeah.
2-minute warning.
Is anybody surprised that, I mean, of course they're going to take the C away. By the way, there's a formal ceremony when they give out the C. Is there a formal ceremony when you take the C back from somebody who still is on your roster?
Yeah.
Do they just hold up a jersey and take the C off?
When he gets traded to the Ducks, they'll have a blue C on his jersey. He's still the Sabres captain. They did not strip the captaincy.
Well, remember, when they do that former Sabre captain return theme night, he would still have the C on his chest. What else? So, quick stat. Fourth downs. I don't remember where I found this, but I found it. In week one, teams went for it on fourth down 52 times. It was the highest single week total in league history. 25 were successful. In week two, there were 35 conversion attempts on fourth down. 13 were successful. That's a 44% success rate on fourth down last week in the National Football League. I just brought that up because it was an article about how Baltimore went for it on fourth down against Kansas City, not letting Mahomes have the ball. It went on to talk about how success rate is up on fourth down. Maybe you'll see more coaches go for it on fourth down. It needs more context than that, but we only had a minute to go, so I thought I'd throw it out there.
We've seen a picture of Sam Reinhart in his Panthers jersey for a Zoom call reporting to training camp.
Is that right?
He's wearing number 13.
He must be a very happy man these days.
He was asked why he chose the number 13. His answer, according to Jameson Olive, who is covers the Panthers in the NHL at FloridaPanthers.com. Reinhart's answer why he chose number 13, quote, to follow a former club legend like Mark Pezek.
He really said that?
He said that.
With a straight face?
Yeah. I mean, he's probably friends with Pezek. Pezek was a Sabre.
Club legend?
Got traded to Florida.
Okay. Quick note. The Bills have signed offensive lineman Bobby Hart to the practice squad. On that note, we'll step aside. Extra Point Show is on the way. We'll be back tomorrow morning for Thursday and more Bills talk. Have a nice day.